This evening, I'm going to speak this evening on the theme of the discipleship philosophy. And what I'd like to do it also in tandem with where your church is seeking to move forward in the matter of discipling church members. I would like to speak on this because this is something that I have been personally involved in now for just about 35 years. And I'm going to share with you tonight the things that actually that I learned while I was in college. I was saved my freshman year of college. I went to a state school and I learned the discipleship philosophy I'm going to give you tonight actually in a state college, a state campus. And these are the things that we have implemented over the years. We did this in our youth ministry and our evangelistic ministry. Fact is, one of the major reasons why we wanted to carry a team was so that we could fulfill what we felt like the Lord called us to do, and that is to disciple people. And we've had 55 young people travel with us over the last 18 years. And the primary reason behind it, and there were lots of them, but the primary reason was not to have a music team. That was not our primary purpose. The primary purpose was to be able to disciple people and to invest your life in individuals. And then when I became the director at Northland Camp, we took the exact same philosophy and implemented it in the camp. And so we had almost every summer 150 young people come through. And we told them, we are really glad that you're here working at the camp, but we want you to understand that camp to us is only second. What is first is your own spiritual life and your own growth and what God is doing in you, because you can have a great camp program and that is meaningless if it's not within your own life. So our whole focal point was on developing the disciple, because if they are being developed, they're going to go out and have an impact on others. And since we have been in the ministry now of Cross Impact, as I mentioned this last night and talked to the church about this, our philosophy is still the same thing. It's the discipleship philosophy. Now it's being transferred to college students and singles, and we're saying that the future of reaching people is understanding this philosophy and then implementing it within the local church. So that's what I want us to look at tonight, and I would like us to look at the Great Commission given by our Lord in the book of Matthew chapter 28. We'll read verse 16 down to the end of the chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that the Spirit of God will take these simple truths and, Lord, help them to be implanted in our heart. And, Lord, I ask that you will work in lives tonight. Give people a vision. Give people a mission. Give people, Lord, a passion tonight for this marvelous work that you have called us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I came to Christ my freshman year of college. When I went back my sophomore year, I connected with a group of young men that were very committed to serving Jesus Christ. One of them was a young man named Jim Smith. Jim and I became the closest of friends over the next 3 years. And as I look back in my life, it was the influence of Jim Smith that has actually changed my life and really my philosophy of ministry. And essentially, Jim was completely committed to this philosophy of discipleship, and he discipled me. And in the process of discipleship, he said to me, "Steve, you need to go and do the same thing." And he handed me a book that I read when I was a sophomore in college called The Master Plan of Evangelism, written by a man named Robert Coleman. And in this book, Robert Coleman sets out the concept that the way that you impact the world is not through addition, but through multiplication. And it makes total sense that if one person would disciple two people, and those two people would go out and they would disciple two people. So the first year you have two, and the second year you have four, and those continue on in that process. So the next year you have eight, and the next year you have 16, and the next year you have 32. That if you follow that process, and you can do the math yourself, that you will essentially reach the entire planet within under 40 years. And when I read the book, I bought into it, and I still believe it. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." If you study the verse carefully, there's four generations there. There's Paul, Timothy. Timothy is to commit himself to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It's all throughout the Scripture, the concept of investing your life in others. And then from that, those turn around and do the same thing. We call that discipleship and multiplication. And as we read the passage of Scripture tonight, we find our Lord giving His disciples what we call the Great Commission. And what is the Great Commission? It is to go into all the world, and it is to make disciples. And I want us to see three things about this discipleship philosophy. Number one, I want you to see that this is a responsible call, a responsible duty. What did the Lord say? He said to the disciples that they are to disciple. The discipled are commanded to disciple. What has Jesus been doing for the last 2.5 to 3 years? We know He went everywhere preaching the gospel. We know that He healed people, and we know that He did good works. But if we read the gospel accounts, we see at the very core of Jesus' ministry, what did He do? He discipled the 12 disciples. And then He told them to go out and to do the same thing. At the very core of discipleship is the responsibility to take this command and go thou and do likewise. If you have been discipled, then you are commanded to disciple. Now, some of you are sitting here tonight and you're saying, I do not feel prepared and able to do this. You know what? There's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. Let me be frank. Grow up and accept your responsibility. Jesus said everybody is to go and make disciples. Did He not say that? If He said that, would you say amen? Now, that ain't good enough. You're going to have to work with me tonight, all right? I'm going to preach to you tonight. Everybody is told to go and make disciples. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right, now let me ask you a question. Are you doing it? I'm asking you. I'm putting everybody's feet to the fire tonight. I am asking you, are you discipling other people? Well, if you're not, then guess what? You are not obeying God. Real simple. Let me take it a step further. If you are involved in a ministry where you're sitting there and working all day long in a ministry where you are typing at a typewriter or you're doing something in the ministry, but you are not investing your life in the life of others, I want to mark it down. You are not obeying God. I am being frank with you tonight because I didn't write the Bible. Jesus Christ, God's Son, said to His disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. And that's not selective obedience. That is given to all of God's people. And therefore, it is your duty, it is your responsibility to go and make disciples. And if you're not doing that, I don't care what kind of ministry you're in, you are not doing what God wants you to do. You say, well, I don't feel. I don't care what you feel. The Lord said, this is your duty. This is your responsibility. You are to go and you are to make disciples. But the fact of the matter is, in 35 years of ministry, I rarely run into people who are actually doing this. So guess what? Talk is cheap. What you say and what you do may not be one and the same. And the Lord said, go into all the world, and He said it. He said, go and make disciples. Now, this is the burden that I felt when I was 20 years old. My friend Jim Smith looked at me and said, go and make disciples. Was I prepared? Are you kidding me? But guess what I've learned over the years? You know how you get prepared? You do it. And so I had my first discipleship, some of my first times in discipleship. I didn't know what to do. But I had the Bible. I had the Spirit of God in my heart. I had another brother. And so we sat down and we studied the book of Colossians together. First two guys I discipled, their names were Pepe Dutart and Ebby Taylor. Pepe and Ebby. They were both from Charleston, South Carolina. One was a junior, the other was a sophomore, I was a senior. Pepe today is a pastor of a church in Somerville, South Carolina. Ebby went on to be a pastor and an evangelist and was in the ministry for a number of years. I honestly didn't know what I was doing. All I knew was we had the Lord in our life and we had God's Word. And guess what we did? We met together. We read the Word together. We encouraged one another together. Our hearts were open to each other. We became closest of friends. We exhorted one another. We sharpened iron together one another. And I tried to help him take the next step in spiritual growth. Now, I want to say to you, this is our duty. And just because you come to church and just because you're a faithful church member does not mean that you are involved in making disciples. So, we are to go and make disciples. So, what is a disciple? Well, let me give you a simple definition. This is not out of a textbook. It's just very simple. A disciple is a confessional believer who is identifying with the local church. That's the first thing. When I say confessional believer, he's a believer who's made a confession of faith. Okay? He's made a definite decision to accept the Lord and follow the Lord, and he's identified with the local church. Discipleship is always in the context of the local church. We'll see that later on because he said to baptize him. Secondly, he's striving to walk in obedient submission to God's commands. He is striving to obey God and to follow the Lord. And then thirdly, he is working towards making disciples. A disciple recognized the responsibility to make disciples. You know, one of the most stunning things to me was a number of years ago to go on a trip overseas to the country of Greece and Turkey and go to the churches where what we call the churches of Asia, the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. And to be in what was the old city of Ephesus and to read the passage of Scripture and to realize the Apostle Paul went there and he was there for 2.5 years. And in that 2.5 years, it says, and you can read it, Luke writes in the book of Acts, that all of Asia heard the gospel. Now, Asia is not like, you know, like China and all of those countries. It was a Roman province that was in what we would call Western Turkey today. But it's still a really big area. But what's stunning to me is that everybody heard the word within 2 years. Now, how does that take place? There's only one way it takes place, and that is when people accept the responsibility to be disciples. I can't imagine the Apostle Paul not urging everybody to get up and do it. I don't think I'm being that hard tonight or that strong. I don't think it's any less than what Paul would have required. I mean, let's take it back. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Go and make disciples. Is that like just for a handful of people? No, that's for everybody. What if everybody took the responsibility upon themselves to go and make disciples? It would change the world. So the Lord has given us a clear command that we are to obey. It is a responsible call. And then notice, secondly, it is an intentional call. Notice what he said. He said, make disciples. And the first thing he did was he gave a mission. He said, go and make them. When I became the director at Northland Camp, it took us about a year to implement this philosophy. But I sat down with our primary leaders and I said, look, everybody is going to be involved in discipleship. Everybody. If you're a counselor, if you are an op staff, if you're working in the kitchen, if you're a secretary, if you're a lifeguard, everybody is involved. And we're going to develop a leadership team of about 35 people. And everybody on that leadership team will oversee a group of 2 or 3 or 4 people and they will disciple them. And then we will teach those that come to do the same thing. And so, therefore, they were given a mission. And so week after week after week, we poured our lives into. And I began to see what happened when people started to do this. And the effect was incredible because it began to develop a spirit of openness and transparency. You know, a lot of times you go to church and nobody is open with each other. There's no transparency, but not this. We were growing together. We were praying together. We were serving together. If need be, there was proper biblical confrontation to help people grow spiritually. And so therefore, they were given a mission. Jesus said, go and make them. And then he gave them a vision. He said to make disciples of all nations. And that is that we should be intentional about taking these truths and going into all the world. You know, the church in the early church did not grow because they had big buildings. Where did they meet in the early church? They met in houses. And they met in all kinds of places. And they met in secret. And yet what happened? They grew. Why? Because the church is a living body. And when that body is alive, it grows. And the Bible says it grows. And so therefore, he gave them a vision. This is a vision that we all should be involved in. All of us making disciples throughout all the world. And then he gave them a passion. Notice what he said. All authority is given unto me. You have power. And he said, lo, I am with you always. I'm giving you my presence. And therefore, this is intentional. This is something that you should be doing. So, if I started walking around tonight, and I said to you, okay, who are you working on? Who are you working with? Who are you discipling? Who could you tell me? Who is it? What one person or what two people are you meeting with for prayer and encouragement, and you're pouring your life into them? You say, well, my family is my ministry. You know what? I agree with you 100%. Sort of. I don't agree with you totally. I believe if you can, and I realize people are very limited in time, and so I know there's a time factor here, and there are all kinds of varying factors. But, however, if we really are burdened about discipleship, it means we're going to go after people. I had a girl tell me last week, we came to Greenville last week, and she came over to see us on Thursday, and she said, by the way, I want to tell you something. I have heard you talk about discipleship for 3 or 4 years, and she said, I got so convicted recently of the fact that I really wasn't doing it. And I began to pray, and guess what? There are two girls right now I'm meeting with on a regular basis, helping them to grow spiritually. I wonder, is it oftentimes people are not growing spiritually because we really are not taking the time to look for the opportunity to disciple people? So this is an intentional thing that we do. We are doing this on purpose. I'm seeking to invest my life in these people. And it can be people of all kinds of different ages that we're working with them and encouraging them. And all of us should be doing this. We are to go and we are to make disciples. And then finally, the last thing I want you to see tonight is that this is a relational call. And that is this, when the Lord calls us into this, it is to develop relationships with people. And first of all, it is a relationship to the church. What did Jesus say? Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations. And then he said, baptizing them. Baptism is a church ordinance. When we are baptized and incorporated into the body of believers, the local church. And so the making of disciples is to see people come to Christ, to be baptized, to identify with the local church. They come into that body and they come into that assembly. And what are they? What is to happen? They are to be taught. And they are to be taught to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And what has he commanded us to do? Go and make disciples. So we teach and train so that they would go out and do the exact same thing. So it has to be in the context of the local church. I am for every parachurch ministry that sees people saved and sees people's lives changed. And I realize that they often work together with the local church, but primarily it's a church work. We are to baptize them into a relationship with the church. Every believer needs to have a relationship with the local church. and continually and effectively being involved in that church. And then secondly, this is a relationship to other believers. Notice how many different times Paul said you, and then he said them. He said in verse, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. What do we see here? We see that believers are to have relationships with one another. We developed a system called power groups. And the reason we called them power groups is because the word power was an acrostic that had the five primary principles of the group that meets together. And first of all, it stands for prayer. And that is the way that people get close together is praying together. Secondly, openness or transparency. That is the willingness to be open about what God is doing in you or what God is working in your life, a transparent honesty among believers. At first, most people are very uncomfortable with it because they're not used to doing it. Because in some ways, Christianity has become so institutional, we kind of fit into the institution and we kind of move through the institution. And that's really not what Christianity is. It's a body. It's a life of believers that have intimate, caring, concerning relationships. And so, therefore, there needs to be an openness. And then thirdly, the letter W, which stands for the Word of God. And that is the Word is the center and the source and the life of all scriptural relationships. And so, therefore, in any time there's discipleship going on, it is always Word-centered. Always focused on the Word. That's the glue that holds us together. It's the glue that holds our group together. We meet every single Monday morning for study of Scripture. And we memorize the Scripture together. And we work through it together. And we focus our attention on it. And then the letter E that stands for encouragement. Everybody thrives in the fertile soil of encouragement. And we need to be encouraging one another and expressing love and affection for one another. I know in our group when we're doing good, when I hear them say to each other, I love you. I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I care about you. And then the letter R is responsibility. You cannot develop an atmosphere of brotherly love, which is one of the mutual benefits of being a part of the church, if people are irresponsible. So within the power group, we challenge one another to be witnesses. What's going on? What's happening? Who are you talking to? What's going on in your life? And so you find in this relationships, you find this life going on. And so what we see in discipleship is that this is a call to being responsible. We are called to be intentional about this. And thirdly, we are called into close relationships. Let me give you a definition of discipleship. Discipleship is the loving commitment to the spiritual maturity of other believers and helping bring them into greater Christ-likeness. It is the loving commitment to the maturity of other believers in helping to bring them into greater Christ-likeness. I had a little opportunity this afternoon. I went over across town, and one of the fellows that used to travel on our team, he and his family are over there, Evangelist Will Galk, and I knew Will when he was a 22-year-old graduate from Northland Baptist Bible College. He was originally from Idaho. He was the ultimate geekster, and he really was. And yet he had such a passion for the Lord. I used to make fun of him. He's pigeon-toed, and you know he wears his pants all the way up to here, and you know he had a kind of a goofy look about him, and he's from Idaho. I mean, what do you expect? And so, and yet, over the years, there has been developed such a deep, deep love. And that love doesn't come overnight. It comes over time. It comes when you are committed to one another, to helping people grow. Discipleship is the loving commitment to the spiritual maturity of another believer and helping to bring them into greater Christ-likeness. And this is what's going on in discipleship. You know, you look back in history, and what I'm saying tonight is nothing new. You know, during the Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards in 1730s, that one of the signs of revival was that they were actually meeting together in small groups for prayer and encouragement. Many of you know that it was John Wesley and George Whitefield that God used to stem the tide of all kinds of sin in England. We would call it some of the evangelical awakening of England. And George Whitefield was distinguished because of his preaching, but John Wesley was distinguished because of his organization. And we know that they were what we would call the Methodists. And the reason why is because they lived by very strict spiritual principles. They followed certain methods. And the genius of John Wesley was that he developed societies, because in those days they were all members of the Church of England. They didn't go out and start churches. That wasn't going on that day. They were part of the Church of England. And so was John Wesley. And so many people started getting saved and were born again. And so because of the new birth and this new life, they wanted to nurture these believers. And so they developed societies called classes and bands, where they bound together. And they would get together and they would encourage one another to confess their sins to each other and to build up each other. They would often have things they called love feasts. And during those love feasts, they would take time to share the testimonies of the working of God within their life. And I remember over these last 35 years, I've read all kinds of material about all kinds of groups over church history, where there was this great movement of the Lord. And a part of this was the small groups meeting together, encouraging one another, praying for one another, being honest and open with each other, confessing their sins to one another, and sharing testimonies. And it was out of this life that people grew. And then what happened is leaders begin to rise up and they want to go out and have an impact and make a difference in other people's lives. And so the whole concept of this philosophy of discipleship is our loving commitment to the spiritual maturity of other believers and helping to bring them into greater Christ likeness. And so as we conclude tonight, who's the perfect example of this? It's the Lord Himself. Because what did He do? He totally committed the whole future of the church into the hands of 11 disciples. And one of them, of course, betrayed Him. That would be a total of 12. Christ lived with these men. He was a rabbi. And how did a rabbi teach? A rabbi did not teach behind a lectern. It wasn't public lectures. But it was personal relationships. And they lived with Him. And they walked by the way. And they talked. And so what did He do? As you read the life of Christ, He encouraged His disciples. And constantly to live for the Lord, to walk with the Lord. What did He do? He taught them. And oftentimes He would teach them. What's the primary method of teaching for the Jewish people? It's always questions and answers. You ask a question, you give an answer. Guy asked a Jewish guy one time, why do all you Jews answer a question with a question? He said, why do you want to know? That's how you learn. That's how you grow. Curiosity, questions, and answers. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He confronted them. Remember, He said to the disciples, hey, what were you guys talking about? It got real quiet. You know, when it gets real quiet, everybody's convicted. What have they been talking about? Who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to sit on the right hand of the Lord? And you know what Jesus did? Instead of rebuking them for their pride, He said, you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Hey, come on. Come on, let me tell you how to do it. Serve other people. Love other people. That's how you become great in the kingdom. And then what would He do? He would listen. He would listen to them as they talked. And then He would spend time and energy with them. And then He would pray with and He would pray for them. All the time, constantly discipling people. How many people can you disciple at once? Generally, just a few. One or two or three. Sometimes a pastor tries to do more, but even a pastor is a limited person. But what would happen if we would all obey God and take seriously the commission of the Lord and we would all make disciples? So let me ask you a question. It's real simple. Are you making disciples? Are you? You, sir. Are you, ma'am? You say, I don't feel prepared. I know, you've been telling me that all night long. Every one of you can have an impact If you love people and you serve people and you intentionally go after people and you do it with God's word, and that's why I love to do it in the body of the local church, because I think real discipleship takes place in the body. So oftentimes the church will organize it, which I'm very much for. But what would happen if we all took to heart the real command of our Lord to go and make disciples? That's the discipleship philosophy. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the working of your Spirit in our hearts. Thank you that you have commissioned us to go and make disciples. And Lord, many, many times we've read this passage, and many times we've heard this passage preached before, and many, many times we've walked away and never really obeyed it. And so tonight, Lord, I pray that you would do a stirring work in the hearts of these people. And there would be people all over this building who would take to heart in prayer, and they would start seeking out people to impact. And Lord, we thank you that you have promised to do great things through multiplying. And you are going to reach the world through this. And so, Lord, do your work. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.